You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm, and today's show, I've got Jason Johnson. Jason, how you doing?
Doing great, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
So Jason and I have known each other, man, at least 6 years or 7 years. I mean, it's been a while. Jason actually was introduced through a mutual friend of ours, and I think you bought one or two houses from me back in the late 2000, maybe 2009, 2010, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, one each year, 2009, 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're still friends, so that's a good thing, right?
right.
And we've just sort of stayed in contact. When I'm out in California, we'll try to grab a beer here or there, and we know a lot of the same people. So I thought it'd be great to bring Jason on the show and maybe talk a little bit about how you got into real estate and what you're doing now, and then we'll get into your best deal ever.
All right. I'll just start with kind of how I got interested in it. I don't think I've told it many people this story, but I grew up in West Virginia, and in the summers I would work putting up hay. I don't know if that makes sense to a lot of people, but putting up hay for farmers. And there was this one guy, he was just he says he's a toy farmer. He would come in and I would help him get his hay up every year, and he would always talk about real estate and the stock market, and he talked about how much money, and he's like, oh, you got to buy real estate. And that was like at the beginning of college, but so it always kind of stuck with me. And then I moved out to California in 2001, I think. And someone gave me a little newsletter on real estate sometime. And anyway, long story short, I ended up going to this. It was kind of a turnkey provider back then. And they had a property down in Charleston, South Carolina. And I knew Charleston because I'm from the East Coast. And I used to live near there. And so I went and I talked to the realtor, and I had no idea what I was doing, and I was scared, but I found a partner, somebody to go in with me, and bought it, and just kind of learn as we go back then. But so that my plan was to buy one every couple of years, and then I think my third property actually was from you, Ken. Third and fourth property were from you.
Okay.
And so that's how I got into it. I mean, I was still working my full-time job. I'm a nurse by trade, but it's allowed me to buy some rent or buy and hold properties. And I wanted to get into more creative type stuff. So I've kind of transitioned into that just in the last couple of years.
Well, and that's what I appreciate the fact, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, is because you're the perfect example of somebody who works full-time. So you're a full-time nurse, and yet you're very active in the real estate investing community, where you've bought a lot of houses yourself for holding, and now you're out there doing direct mail and putting properties under contract. Maybe talk a little bit about what you're doing now and how you're working with some other investors.
Sure. I live in California now, but I'm actually working in the Cleveland market. And, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, how do you do that? Because I'm not just buying to hold in Cleveland. I'm, wholesaling. I won't go into what that is right now, but basically I go out, look for properties of, people that need to sell, and, we'll get it under contract. And then we will find a buyer that wants that type of property that we have. And we make just a little bit on the spread. So we started doing that just a couple months ago in Cleveland, but and it is a balancing act for sure, because we've got the time difference to deal with. But I do have people working with me more on a commission basis, and I mean, but it's just been all through relationships actually. So it's definitely a challenge, but I mean, it can work for sure.
So how are you doing that now, where you've got your marketing going to Cleveland? Are they calling like a Ring Central or a Pat Live or something and leaving messages, and then you're calling them back? Or how are you making those phone calls back to those people?
Right now, well, I started out, I was doing it all myself and trying to call all these people back. And I think I mailed out the first round, I mailed out like 2,500 postcards, and I got so many calls. I was overwhelmed with it. I mean, I just wasn't prepared for it. I couldn't even get them all called back myself. I mean, I was, and I had my wife help me. I'm using a Podio platform for a CRM, which is great for keeping yourself organized.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I was having them call into an 800 number, actually, on Freedom Voice.
Okay.
And that would send the message directly to my email, and I could listen to it there. And then I eventually learned how to have that sent directly into Podio and attach it to the like the questionnaire that I go through with the seller. Just trying to always learn things that can make the business easier and get it more systematized, just to make more use of your time. Actually, you just told me something today that's going to save me a lot of time before we got on the call.
That's right. So, and then, so the, if they're in Podio as an attachment, and then are you still making those phone calls back to those people to screen the good deals from the bad deals?
I was up until about 3 weeks ago. Now I have someone helping me, and he is screening them for me, and he'll send a task over to me, and he's been doing this for a while. So he's really good on the phone, and he can tell seller's motivation. He'll get the basic information, but if he feels like it's more of a, they're a little more motivated, he'll get a little more information than just the basic questions, and then he'll send it over to me, and then I'll call them from there.
Gotcha.
And then we have a guy on the ground there. He goes out and takes pictures for me, and he's actually a rehabber for about 20 years. And then we have a property manager over there, have title reps. I have a couple of realtors that I've been working with also.
Man, you have built your team in Cleveland. That's fantastic in a very short amount of time too.
Yeah, I'm on the phone all the time.
I can imagine. Is that so? In between seeing patients, are you running out in the hallway and making phone calls?
I do sometimes if I know who it is calling. But I'll come into work. I start work usually at 7 o'clock. But a lot of times I'll come in early, an hour early or 2 hours early, and I'll make calls in the morning. They say I'm non-social at lunch because I always go on and make phone calls during lunch. And then in the evening, if I get off around 3:30, I'll make calls for about an hour and a half until it's almost 8 o'clock in Cleveland.
Wow. I love it, man, because you're doing something you enjoy doing in terms of a full-time job, but then you're still able to do something else that you love doing, which is real estate. And you've kind of been able to combine the two. Now it sounds like you might be pulling your hair out a little bit or you're completely enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I like it. I mean, it can be a little overwhelming at times, but I mean, just getting these systems in place. I mean, I've had some mentors that have helped me out a lot, and just, I mean, everything's just kind of falling into place now. We've gotten a couple deals done in Cleveland. We got one done there, and I've got three under contract right now. One is set to close here in a couple of weeks, and I've got another one, that was actually a seller finance deal that I've gotten out of Cleveland. But it's, I mean, it's going to be a great deal. I mean, we're in it pretty light. And, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, why would people take that deal? Cause it was a principal only payment, meaning no interest for 200 payments. That's just what I'll work out. I don't know how many of it,
but nice.
It's between 15 years plus. And, she took it, but I just kind of found out what her needs were on the property, and we connected. And this lady's in North Carolina. I'm in California, and the property is in Cleveland.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's awesome that you put that together, especially long distance. That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm happy with the way things are working out.
Well, let's talk about your best deal ever. Was your best deal one of these ones in Cleveland, or was it maybe something in your local market?
Well, that seller finance deal may end up being the best deal, but it's not closed yet. So I'll just talk about one that I liked here in California, which I haven't done a lot of business in California just because you can do business here, but I've just preferred to do it on the East Coast mainly. That's where I'm from, and numbers make more sense out there to me. But this deal came to me through my wife. She actually had a friend that had a rental property. And well, it was her friend's husband had the rental property, and the wife did not want it. I mean, and she kept telling them, get rid of it. Because they had a tenant, and they had put a tenant in there, no lease, no deposit, tenant left, trashed the place. They did the same thing again, put the tenant back in there, no lease, no deposit. And I talked to them after the first tenant left, and they decided, well, we'll just rent it again. So after it happened the second time, they came back to me, and, I went over a couple different options with them because there was just a tiny bit of equity, like a couple thousand dollars worth of equity property. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want to go the short sale route. So I went over seller finance option with them. They didn't like that one either. But then I talked about the lease option, which I kind of – the first lease option I learned about was on the first deal I did with you. And just kind of did some more research and mentored with someone out here. And I was like – and you know, a lot of people told me this deal couldn't be done. I mean, many people I went to tell them the story, they're like, oh, you can't do anything with that.
That's awesome.
And I just stuck with it. And finally, we went in the contract on it, I believe, in August. And then I started marketing it. As soon as I had a contract, put up bandit signs looking for a tenant buyer. And we had a tenant buyer. Actually, the second call I got was from the guy that ended up becoming the tenant buyer for that property.
Wow.
The first one was from code enforcement.
Oh, take your signs down.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, that's funny.
But a lot of people get scared about that, but I use a Google Voice and it's not traced to me, so
yeah,
they'd have a hard time finding me.
A lot of guys that put up those bandit signs. I got a buddy in North Carolina who literally is getting chased by the law all the time because he's got bandit signs all over the place. They know him by name. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, they carry pretty stiff fines if they do catch it, so I wouldn't suggest using a number attached to your name or business.
So let's break down the numbers. So you basically got it on a lease option where you were the buyer from your friends at what price? So what price did they put it under contract to you for?
We put it under contract for $250.
Okay. So you're going to buy it from them for $250 in a lease option. Then you turned around, you put a bunch of bandit signs up in your market, the phone started ringing, and then the second guy that calls ends up putting it under contract. And so what did you end up selling it to him for?
We put the contract with him at $265, and what he ended up doing was putting down $15,000 as his option deposit.
Man, that is a beautiful thing. So that's basically the spread. You're $250 to $265. He put down the $15,000, and basically, I mean, as an investor who put the deal together, you could pocket that $15,000, and then it's he basically takes it over where you were at the $250 number. But what did you decide to do instead?
Well, since we're good friends with the sellers, I gave them five and I kept 10 on that deal.
Yeah.
But I mean, it worked out good for everyone. So.
And I think that's a huge principle in general, especially if you're doing business with friends, but just in general is win-win. If everybody's participating, everybody should get a slice of the pie. And I think it's awesome that you kicked them back five and you still got to keep 10. I mean, $10,000 for just putting up some bandit signs and taking a few phone calls. That's not too bad.
Yeah, not bad. And I mean, during the whole process, when I'm down there, my wife's like, "You're okay. We're going to make money on this. You're okay with it." You're like, "Yeah, we're fine with it. We're fine with it. I just want to get rid of it."
Well, and that's the other thing is, I'll tell you, some of our best sources of inventory come from disgruntled landlords, which is exactly what they were. Granted, they were friends, but they were tired of being landlords. It's a perfect time to swoop in and take their problem house off their hands.
Yeah. It worked out good. And now the markets went up. That property's worth probably because the guy's still in it. They renewed the lease on it, I believe, and I think it's worth about $315 now or something like that.
Wow.
$310,
okay.
$315, something like that.
Man, so good for the tenant. See, then all around, it's a win for everybody. The tenant wins, you win, your friends who sold it win. It worked out for everybody.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out well.
That is a great best deal ever, for sure. I love it when we can talk about a best deal when at the end of the day, everybody won, even the sellers.
Yeah, and that's a strategy. That's the only time I've done that, wholesaling lease option. I would definitely do that again and may end up using – I mean, we've thought about that on a couple of the properties we're working on in Cleveland where it's just the way it has a mortgage on it, which this property had a mortgage on it. That was the problem. So we're looking at maybe doing something like that on a couple deals there too.
Well, I've done a handful of deals up in Cleveland myself, and we're putting lease purchase tenants in our properties, and it seems like a really good market to find lease purchase tenants where they're putting up decent amount of down payment, and we're finding tenants pretty quickly. So that might be a viable strategy for you up there.
Okay. What percentage would you say they're putting down?
Close to 5%. Which, lease purchase in a market like that's not too bad. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Okay, well, I'll have to I'll have to work the numbers on that. Because, I mean, I've got two that one, he said he would sell for what he owed, and it would work at that. But he had actually, you know, it's interesting, Ken, though, because you have people that try to do things and don't get the education on it.
Yep.
But because one property I was going to buy, this guy said he did a lease option, and he sent me the paperwork that he had with this tenant in there because she hadn't paid in 6 months. And it gave me a headache reading it. And I sent it to a friend of mine that's a lawyer and does lease options as well. And he's like, this is garbage. He's like, I can't even read this.
Oh, my God.
But I mean, it was just so bad. I mean, it didn't even make sense. And the guy, and it's just a bad situation because the guy thought, oh, okay, well, this is going to stand up in court. And the tenant's like, oh, no, I've already almost paid for this property. I almost own this thing. I mean, and they were just at odds, and it was just a big mess. We turned out we couldn't do anything to help them. It's just such a mess. But,
Definitely not worth overcomplicating a contract. That's for sure. You don't want to confuse a tenant or confuse a seller. The simpler the contract, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was very confusing. I mean, on some deals, I mean, you just, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do on some, and it's just better to walk away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jason, man, I appreciate you being on the show. Now, I know that you're not necessarily one of the guys that are out there selling properties or selling info this or... Is there a website, or if people wanted to pick your brain about something, is there a way somebody could find you?
They can just email me, or I can give them my phone number too. Yeah, the websites we have are just mainly for buyers, and I had a lease option website as well that I sent those guys on the Bandit Signs too, but I still use that also. But they can reach me at it's Jason at jjwholesalerswithans.com.
Wholesalers, perfect. If anybody out there is listening and wants to pick Jason's brain about what he's doing and how he's working out of market while working full time, it's Jason at jjwholesalers.com, and we'll put that on our website as well. Jason, thanks so much for being on the show. We appreciate it.
All right, Ken. I appreciate you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. In an effort to get our podcast off the ground and as much traction as possible, we have a favor to ask. And in return, we're going to give you a free t-shirt. That's right, a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt mailed directly to your address. We just ask you to do 5 simple things to help us get this thing off the ground. Number 1, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. Number 2, if you would like our page in Facebook. Number 3, if you would share our page in Facebook. And number 4, if you would follow us on Twitter. And lastly, number 5, if you would download all of our episodes in iTunes. So initially, we're going to have between 30 to 40 episodes when we launch the podcast. We would just ask that you download all of those episodes through iTunes. So once you do that, just send us an email to offers@dealfarm.net. Give us your name, your address, and your t-shirt size, and we will mail you a free t-shirt. Now, all of that said, we don't necessarily have a way to know if you downloaded all of our episodes, so some of this is on the honor system. We're going to trust that if you say you downloaded all of them, that you actually downloaded all of them. And when you do all 5 of those things, again, real quick, if you would subscribe through iTunes, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and download our episodes through iTunes, we will send you a free t-shirt. Thanks so much, and I hope you take advantage of this free offer.